different now, but I used to keep my eye on tail like peacocks. Changed my perspective, got selective. Get Twisted Sundays, look, I ain't gonna wait till the beat drop. I'ma get it while it's warm and start to form this heat rock. I spit classic complex progressions, my whole flow is bebop. I bless demographics with lessons cause my bars are sheetrock. That's hard, these scars gon' get me till the treetop. I'm different now, but I used to keep my eye on tail like peacocks. Changed my perspective, got selective on what line I eavesdropped. Switched to the main one, then refrained from all the names that peepopped. They were thotties, used to smash them as hobbies. But I'm godly, no probably I bring Yeshua to the hood. Mama Nita met fat, she said, yes, he blessing you good. My cousin, whole life a mess, cause he stay obsessed with the jug. I try to confess I'm blessed, even when my life dark as shugs. Last name, that's night, don't get it? You probably snoozing. I make it clearest, my dearest, whenever the spirit moving. I'm trying to spark up reunion, bring back all the real rappers. Donald Trump won the president, preachers say that the rapture is coming. So we on our knees praying to get acceptance. If we made in his image, then why can't I see reflections of love? They project us as thugs. Hell, my partners need hugs. We straight out of the mud. I told my pops I'm the plug for purpose, passion, talent, skills, and everything that's above. Hell, the poverty line. If I ain't the best, then they probably be lying. The flow touched old boys, probably divine. And the whole risk go, but I hardly got time. For Facebook posted, I partly designed. To play fake hope and a partially blind. And I told Miss Rogers she ought to be mine. And we start dating. Practiced abstinence to dark Satan. I'm cool with waiting, but swear. Took revelations in Genesis. Matter of fact, the whole biblical compilation. The defense of Gary Payton and hella spiritual patrons to help me. Cause I was trying to GTD like Tommy on season 2, probably episode 16 of Martin. Man, R.I.P. Tommy Ford, but please check that episode just to see how much more I put in there. Every score I pin, I scrub the floor with men who say they rap, but really industry whores within. I'm done, bring the chorus back in. But ain't no chorus though. Yeah, but ain't no chorus though. But ain't no chorus though. For the haters that be big mad, who throw us juju, but we do do on that witchcraft. We black as the Zulu with moves you do at kickbacks. Shout out to those of you who knew we get that big bag. Say, this is the chorus for the haters that be big mad, who throw us juju, but we do do on that witchcraft. We black as the Zulu with moves you do at kickbacks. Shout out to those of you who knew we get that big bag. Shout out to those of you who knew we get that big bag. Shout out to those of you who knew we get that big bag.
Good morning, good morning. You tuned in with All Three in Path here on 101.9 CITR's Vancouver's radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. We do this every Thursday, 7 to 8 a.m. We're broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory here from the west side of Vancouver. And if you've never tuned in, shame on you. What we like to do here is we like to really get you up to speed for what's been going on in the news in the week. Like, what are the interesting stories? Occasionally, we'll have some guests. Occasionally, there'll just be some really smart people, my friends. It's a fun time, you know, while you're getting ready for work. You're taking a shower. Maybe you're getting your egg whites ready for consumption. Maybe you're at the gym. Maybe you're at work, at a job that you like, or at a job that you love, or at a job you can't stand, and you're just like, you know, Issa just brings me so much joy and also gives me ammunition so I can go into my weekend or your lunchtime and argue with your coworkers about what's going on and belittle them, make you feel a little bit better about yourself. You know, whatever it takes. We like to talk a little bit about the local news here in British Columbia. We like to talk about, like, the news that's happening down south, some global news. I mean, we have, like, the most global sporting event that's going on besides the Olympics. And I would say even the World Cup is probably a little bit bigger than the Olympics. It's here. We're in the midst of it. We're in the middle. And the group stages are ending. So it's really starting to get interesting. Trying to see who's going to emerge. But if you listen to the show, you know we like to start off with a little bit about the weather. Here in BC, if you can't tell, I'm a little sick. And so just so you know, I made the sacrifice to get up at 5 o'clock this morning and make the decision whether I was going to do the radio and then go to work afterwards or not do the radio and work from home. And one of the reasons that I had decided to come in and is because of the people. So I made the sacrifice to not work from home today so that I could bring the people a little bit of joy. And so I'm sick, and I really only get sick when the weather changes, and we've been experiencing somewhat of a chill. So like if you listened to me over the past few weeks, you'd know that from two Thursdays ago, we were in like the 28s, 29s, which is like 80s for you people who don't speak Celsius. But right now we've cooled down pretty much to more normal Vancouver weathers for June, like a June chill. We're down to like 17, 16, which is like in the 60s. Like it's definitely a sweatshirt, long sleeve t-shirt weather. But I didn't know that. So on Tuesday night, I rode my bike home with no sweatshirt, just a t-shirt. And I woke up Wednesday feeling like shit. But I'm here. And so is the cloud. So are the clouds. It'll be cloudy and around 17, 16 today through next Thursday with around 20% chance of precipitation the entire week. So you can just expect that your Canada Day on Sunday will be a little cloudy, but not too bad. Maybe the clouds will burn off. I thought that yesterday, but I don't really have too much hope considering there's no sunshine in the future. The sun doesn't seem to be making an appearance until July 7th, and then it'll get back into the 20s. This is disappointing because we started off with such a great, great June. However, maybe this depressed weather a little bit will lead to less forest fires here this summer, and which means we won't have like the smoke and smog that we had last August, and that is something to be hopeful for, because that's not something I don't know if I can take any more of. So let's just jump right into what's going on here at UBC. Let's start off with the positives. So, like, there are some, like, we have a lot to get through today. There has been so much news going on, not just here locally in Vancouver or Canada, but really this past week has been jam-packed with hopefulness. Even here in the political hopefulness, even here in BC, we've had some political hopefulness. We've had some of that in the States. And then we get dashed another blow. It's like, this is like a full fight at all times. But it's not over. And I think that is important. Before we move on to like the what's going on right now, or what's going on in the news cycle right now, I think it's important that we don't forget that there are still children in detention centers and still people in danger of being separated from their families forever. We often like to get into this news cycle where, like, you know, every week it's something new, like every week something new happens. But that's always at the expense, like, you think that your time and your attention is limited. So it's often at the expense of what happened last week and what happened the week before that and what happened the week before that. And so you, we're constantly looking for updates. It's just how our life is, like how our behaviors have been really, I don't want to say programmed, but we've really been taught, you know, like when you're looking on your Facebook feed or your Instagram feed or even your news feed at work or even just the way that your emails come in, like everything that's new is the most urgent. And so it's important not to forget that there are still detention centers. There are still raids. This past week, I've seen not only just my friends, but people on Twitter really sharing information about, like, where are their detention centers? Where are their roadblocks? In Cleveland. Cleveland is a place where I feel like I didn't grow up in Cleveland like from a young boy, but I feel like as a young man, that's where I grew up, was in Ohio. So like in Ohio, they've had these detention centers that have been set up to look like DUI points. In DC, they have them on the trains. In New York, they have them on the trains. It's really becoming crazy to trying to understand, one, where the hell did they get all of this money to have these officials set up to detain quote-unquote illegal immigrants, and why are they just now, like where do they have all this money for these people, and why are they doing these things now? Like, if this whole idea of rounding up illegal immigrants is to protect us from terrorism, why are you snatching people at work? Like, why are you going into people's jobs and threatening to, you know, immigration and threatening to take their kids? And it's, like, the only reason I even give one, like, the only reason why I am even, like, okay with a little bit about them, like, me taking my shoes off at the airport or them swabbing my hands or them putting their hands in my hair, which they do every single time, like as if I'm carrying some type of weapon in my dreadlocks, is because I feel that there is a level of security and like a level of understanding that maybe, just maybe, they'll stop one terrorist attack. You know, maybe they'll stop somebody from harming me or somebody I love or just strangers who are just innocent bystanders, that this harassment of the general public is useful. However, what I've never been afraid of is, you know, a man working construction or a woman, you know, who's doing some domestic work or even people who have less blue-collar jobs. I mean, because I think the misconception is that all immigrants, illegal immigrants, are doing like labor work, cheap labor work, and there's some illegal immigrants that have regular jobs. You know, just like not just like regular jobs, but like have like what we would consider a quote-unquote good job. You know, like that, like where they have skills and knowledge that are just beyond what they can do with their bodies, and so going into people's jobs, even regardless of the type of work they're doing, and snatch them is wrong. But it's not just like we started talking about the kids, but it's not just about the kids. It's about the parents and people as well. But it's important not to forget that those types of things are still going on. And it needs to be like a constant pressure. What we've seen here in British Columbia, they had a, so this is in like in National Indigenous Day, was if you, it was last Thursday, but this week, this month is Indigenous Month, and so they had a joint chief assembly here in British Columbia, where the chiefs here spoke out towards what's going on in, you know, at the border and in other places in America, and talking about how it's very similar to what's going on here. We're actually going to be discussing some of the issues that they addressed a little later after the musical break. But it's important not to forget and to understand that these things are still going on and they need our attention, just like Puerto Rico continues to need our attention, just like we have these constant police shootings. It seems like an update, but it's always a new one. You know, these always need our attention and we need to be mindful of that. But I just wanted to... getting into what's going on here in British Columbia this weekend and today, it seems like a interesting segue. However, I think that it's important that, like, while we talk about serious things, issues that are going on here, British Columbia, like, it's often, we often need to understand, like, there's lots of stuff that is goes on here, and people should be aware. So, I don't know if you've ever heard of this woman, Macy Gray. She's performing tonight at the, opera, Queen Elizabeth Theater on Hamilton Street. You can go check her out. I don't know if she has more than the song I Try. However, I'm sure she will try. I didn't know she just released her 10th studio album. That's kind of crazy, considering the fact that, like, I haven't heard Macy Gray since I was maybe in the 5th grade. There are, wow, this is, I don't know if you've ever looked at the directory on Vancouver Sun. It's trash. We're going to skip that. So we're going to get in, so thinking about, like, what the BC Chiefs were talking about here, it really goes to last Saturday. I was at a birthday party. And one of the individuals at the birthday party was a police officer here in Vancouver. And so while if you hear about the stories we talk about here, it's not, there's really nothing that goes on. Like, there's, there seems to be like an uptick in the crime, or maybe just uptick in crime reported, but like nothing that feels like it's going to reach out and touch you. So he was talking about like his experiences as a BC police officer. And then he went into his experiences as a Saskatchewan correctional officer in a prison. And he kind of, he didn't like gloss over, but he didn't spend a lot of time or think it was anything weird that the fact that over 85% of the prisoners in his prison were First Nations. And I don't know if that was like happenstance that I was just listening to that conversation, but thinking about that and, you know, thinking about the issues we have in America, and I always relate them back to one another. So, like, you know, like the relations and how we treat black and brown people in the States compared to how Canada feels that they treat black and brown people here. But then in reality, understanding that these type of statistics, like, there's no there's no way to like explain it away or to finger wag yourself into thinking that this is okay. So when you hear a statistic like 85% of one particular group who makes up 5% of the population is incarcerated, you understand that, like, one, like, as a black person, I immediately think about, like, okay, what are the systems that are making this possible? Because in a country that seems to me like 85% white, you would think that the reflection of the prison population would reflect what the general population would be. But you know that, you know, but as a black person, you know that that's just not the case. And there's things that, there's factors and things like over-policing that are causing this. And so a report came out, and this is what the chiefs are discussing, is that there's an over-representation of Indigenous people in BC's correctional system, and it's rising. It's not only over-represented, it's doubled in the past, like, 6 or 7 years. Particularly among youth and particularly among girls who are at their most vulnerable. So we hear about like the Highway of Tears here in BC. We hear about like Indigenous women going missing. We hear about all of these atrocious crimes that happen to Indigenous people. You know, not only it's not just residential schools. And we know the residential schools ended in 1996. So like people feel the same way that they do about those as they do about any other institution, you know, of an oppressed group. Like, oh, well, that ended on in this year, which lends mostly people not of that group in Canada, mostly white people, to feel that, oh, that is behind us. That's our history. That's, you know, that doesn't affect what it is now. Not considering, one, that 1996 was, you know, like just barely 20 years ago. And two, that's not how oppression works. That's not how the systems work. And so if you look at the statistics, in 2006, youth females only made up, indigenous girls only made up 32% of the females in youth custody in BC, but now they make up more than 60%. And so if you think about, like, wow, what is rising? They don't really talk about, like how or why they believe it to be rising. It just is. And so what I believe is that, one, these people are just being targeted, and two, like, there's something that needs to be addressed, because while these people are in jail, it's just intuitive to understand that that's just not, it's not a natural, like, that's an unnatural increase. It's an unnatural amount of people to be incarcerated. And so while they don't have the same mass incarceration issues that we have in the States, one, because there's just not that many people, we just see that these are things that need to be changed. When we get back from the music, we're going to be talking about a little bit about, one, you need to be safe on the trails, and two, out east in Chilliwack, there is some changes that are being made to the political program. So stay with us. You won't want to miss it.
I haven't left my bedroom for days. It's because I've been reading my favorite magazine. It's called Discorder, and the June issue is out now.
This month in Discorder, you'll read about the indigenous burlesque group Virago Nation, emerging hip-hop artist Rude Nala, DIY artist-run space Duplex, Dim Cinema's experimental moving art programs, Moniker Press's experimental risograph printing, toxic masculinity as defined by Weva, and so much more. You can even pull out the June event calendar and flip it for the Music Waste Festival schedule June 7th to 10th. Thank you to our advertisers Timber Concerts, Mint Records, The Rickshaw Theater, The Rio, Cinematech, Hexistential Festival, AMS, Queer Arts Festival, and Blueprint Events.
She want a me, I want a me, she want a me, she came running, took all money, I had honeys, she want all this money. Think she don't love me, she don't love me. All my money, all my honey. She wanna run it, she can't run it. You don't love me, she don't love me, yeah. We could dance if you want it, yeah. 100 grand make a honey, yeah. By the way, I want it on me, babe. Love it when I got my gas on deck, yeah. She want my gas on deck. Say she love the way my back shots, yeah, yeah. She rolling backwards, yeah, yeah, yeah. She want love me, I want love me. She want love me, she came running. Took all money, I had honeys. She want all this money. Think she don't love me, she don't love me. All my money, all my honey. She wanna run it, she can't run it. You don't love me, she don't love me, yeah.
No, she don't, oh, she don't, but she know I got those on me. New clothes on me, put the rolls on forges. New condos, a donkey, but my bitch a Yorkie. And I know she
she don't. Put her low, cause we grown. It's your fault, cause you wrong. We was off, now we on. Push the pedal down the road. Will I love her? Never know. Private jet going home. It's the life that you want.
She want the me, I want the me. She want the me, she came running. Took all money, I had honeys. She want all this money. Think she don't love me, she don't love me. All my money, all my honey. She wanna run it, she can't run it. You don't love me, she don't love me, yeah.
You're back at Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's radio station. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. And if you can't remember numbers, it's easy. It's 604-UBC-CITR. So, we're back. Talking a little bit about, there's been some political shape-ups and shake-ups, not shape-ups, because it's still effed up, like a dude who brushes his hair backwards. So in Chilliwack, if you haven't heard of Sam Waddington, he is a councilman. He became the youngest councilman here in British Columbia back in 2014, when he was 24 years old, and he ran for city council. And now he's 4 years later, he's got a little bit more experience, and he wants to one up and become the mayor of Chilliwack. And if you don't know Chilliwack, if you are from outside of British Columbia, it is like a small town about 30 miles east of Vancouver. It's not a place that you would ever go. Maybe they got some nice hikes over there. But I've been to Chilliwack once, and I was like, this is good enough. However, it's growing as people continually get pushed out of Vancouver. They're spreading out to the suburbs, and you can't go west because that's the ocean. So you got to go, and you can't go north because those are the mountains. So you have to go east or south. And south is the border, so you're kind of limited. You can just really just build out east. And so Chilliwack has grown significantly in the last decade and almost have 100,000 people there. And so he wants to run for mayor and becoming really the first, quote-unquote, like millennial mayor here in British Columbia. And talks about how the housing prices have gone up. You know, that's a key theme here in the Lower Mainland, from $364,000 to really almost $650,000. And just talks about the changing and how these times have facilitated, like, we need, like, a refresh in this political atmosphere. And it's interesting. So his opponent, the sitting mayor, Sharon Gates, she has been the mayor since 2008, but hasn't really talked about whether she's going to run for a re-election. And it's interesting to see, like, where the feuds come. So typically you see these political, I would say typically, but we don't live in like a typical world anymore, but particularly talking politically. I don't actually know if we ever lived in a world like that. Like, we're going to get to this later, but like an ad for the RNC came out yesterday, and it really made me do some digging and talking with a coworker about like political ads. And we're going to talk about this, but like, they'd never really been clean. They've always really been kind of dark and scary and fear mongering and, you know, or overly hopeful. And so, his opponent is accusing him of overspending pretty much on his expenses and talking about why he spent $10,000 more, than any other candidate. And she's like, I guess, using this as a political tool to say that he's fiscally irresponsible. But it's interesting because the entire difference of his spending was on attending a Federation of Canadian Municipalities conference and breakfasts. So he attended conferences, multiple conferences in the past 4 years that have really been about not just bettering himself as a councilman, but also getting in touch with other councilmen and other people in other jurisdictions. And I don't know what this guy's political, I don't know what he stands for. Like, he could stand for something totally different than I, but I do think that it's interesting that we use these expenses as a way to indicate like this guy's moral compass or his, where he stands on issues and like how responsible he is as a political leader, when it doesn't even take a deep dive into seeing what it was for. So I don't know if these conferences are actually like pay for play, because $10,000 for a few conferences sounds really expensive. But as someone who travels to work, I know how these things can add up pretty quickly. It's just interesting that like you as an opponent, you would use that as a stepping stone when it's clearly been used to for the betterment of himself and for the province. And we talked a little bit about being safe on the trails. And so this happened to me not this past week or the weekend before that, where I was on a trail and found myself, well, I wasn't on, with a friend, and we found ourselves in an area where it's possible could have fell to our demise. But unfortunately, fortunately, we were lucky because these things are dangerous. The 16-year-old hiker died on a fall near Bunsen Lake, and there were two 16-year-olds who were on a hike, and one died after they fell down a cliff and fell down a steep hill. Because you have to understand that it doesn't have to be a cliff for you to die. I think that is like the common misconception when it comes to hiking and taking these serious leaps, is that it needs to be a cliff. Like, no, like a steep hill will kill you as well. So like, it's sad that we have to see these stories to remind us like just how dangerous these things can be. And so we want to get to like what is actually going on here at UBC and how this relates to a story we're going to talk a little bit about when we come back. A little bit about how sexual assault has been treated here at UBC, here at the AMS, and nationally, well, I would say nationally, but like in North America, as we've seen, like one of the latest members of the Me Too movement, Terry Crews, like almost an unexpected member, but a very highly visible and seemingly controversial figure. And we're going to talk a little bit about that when we get back, and why I think, at least for me, this one seems to be the most important for men of all types.
Support the women of the Downtown East Side and spring into the Scotiabank Charity Challenge on June 24th. Join the Downtown East Side Women's Center in crowdsourcing funds and spreading awareness of their organization, which provides safe space, emergency shelter, basic essentials, and a continuum of support to marginalized women. Go to www.dewc.ca/run-4-DEWC for more information.
We'll be right back. there, I'm on my way up. Tell the radio to play us. Blame it on a place I grew up. Hit that landmine, then I blew up. I've been on my job too long. Damn right I know what I do wrong. Ain't no way that I'm gonna change up. Now everybody better pay up.
Elevator on my way up. Penthouse bad bitch with her feet up. Dollar need that new Bentley truck. They just mad they wanna be us. Roll out the windows, put on the gas. Mixing up rapping the kids all, selling my bass. Slashing my diamond, they wet. Slashing my diamond, they wet. I've been one step ahead, I keep my foot on their neck. With the gang gang, bitch, I'm with the gang gang. And when I'm in my Rolls Royce, I take up two lanes. They be like, boy, that's how you feel. I be like, shit, yeah. Hey, DJ, turn this shit up, yeah, it's that shit, yeah.
Hey, up there, I'm on my way up.
Hey, up there, I'm on my way up.
Tell the radio to play us.
Tell the radio to play us.
Blame it on the place I grew up.
Blame it on the place I grew up.
Hit that landmine, then I blew up.
Nigga blew up.
I've been on my job too long.
I've been doing too.
Damn right I know what I
shit,
do wrong.
Sometimes I be fucking up.
Ain't no way that I'm gonna change up.
I'ma be like this for good.
Now everybody better pay up.
Pay up, pay up.
Tryna get rich, don't wanna be famous. With my day ones, 75 cents to catch that bus. Came up, came up. Got my check in, then I finesse. Say I got next. Got right now, so I guess I'll just kick my feet up. Smoking all this weed, I need a re-up. Give it all to me. More money, money. Can't tell me nothing. We out here struggling. This why we hustling.
Never heard it like this, don't lie. You ain't never heard it like this, don't lie. Never heard it like this, don't lie. We ain't had gifts at Christmas time. Now I'm getting mine. Niggas out here be switching sides. Stay down till I touch the sky. That's right.
Hey up there, I'm on my way up.
Hey up there, I'm on my way up.
Tell the radio to play us.
Tell the radio to play us.
Blame it on the place I grew up.
Blame it on the place I grew up.
Hit that landmine, then I blew up.
Young nigga to blew up.
I've been on my job too long.
I've been doing too.
Damn right, I know what I do wrong.
Sometimes I be fucking up.
Ain't no way that I'm gon' change up.
I'ma be like this for good.
Now everybody better pay up.
Danny used to tell me, boy, don't look back. That was 96, I was bumping Outkast. She was up in church, I Cali knew ya. Now it's getting scary, Freddy Krueger.
You're back with Off the Beam Path here on 101.9 CITR. Vancouver's radio station. If you like my voice and you like the show and you like the content and you like knowing what's going on, like I said, these stories, while they might not be in the news, they're always relevant. So you can always go back and listen to an old episode on CITR.ca/offthebeatenpath. You can tune in on facebook.com/otbp20xx. You can go on mixcloud.com/offthebeatenpath, or you can, if you like the music we play, you can listen to, we have a hip hop show every Tuesday, 8 to 10 p.m. That's me, Horsepower, Homeboy Jules, Relly Rails, and Jamal Steels. We do that every week. It's over 15 years, 13, 7, umpteen. I don't really know how many years. I've only been on it for two, but they have been having a rocking, and you can find that on crimesandtreasons.com. And if you have any music, let's say that you listen, you're like, you know what, I like to make music. You can send it in at dj@crimesandtreasons.com, and we will maybe play it if we like it. So here at UBC, UBC is interesting. So I went to Sauder School of Business, and the year before I got there, there was a few incidents, and not just sexual assault, but really like a lot of negligence that went on around it. And the college campuses all over, it seems like seemingly all over the world, have an issue with ignoring sexual assault. And UBC is no different, and it's not like they're any special or any different. And so UBC here, the AMS, which is the Alma Mater Society, had announced that they were going to stop supporting or shut down the sexual assault support center here. and the sexual assault support center was an independent student run center that really provided like a lot of the education. It provided the prevention, outreach, and support for people who've experienced sexual assault here on campus. And for some reason, the dumbass AMS decided that it would be a good idea to stop supporting the center after 16 years. And so you think when with a school with like $100 billion endowment, like they have seemingly like an infinite amount of land, infinite amount of money, with the issues that they've had here and that people have continued to have all over, that this would be the last place that they would decide to take money from. But they did. And in a overwhelming, I don't know if I've seen much support for anything the way I saw support for this. And they decided to bring it back. Tanner Bocor, I don't know who this guy is, but I think he might be the president of the AMS. He says, one of the hardest things to do as an elected official is admit when you're wrong. I don't know. I don't know if it's that hard because this seems like it was going to be a mistake anyways. Like, who thought this was a good idea? And I think that it's important when thinking about this sexual assault. It's not even just like this is not something that we don't have a lot of experience with this, particularly over like the past few years. We've heard instances and things that have been happening, particularly not just the Me Too movement, but with last year's March for Women's Equality, the Women's March on DC, the 250 marches that happened all over the world. I don't understand why they thought this was a good idea, but I'm happy that they are bringing it back, and they're going to continue to support the students here and the faculty, because it's not just students that have to worry about being sexually assaulted. It's faculty as well, and it's not even just worried about being sexually assaulted, but if you've ever been on UBC's campus, you'll see signs and graffiti and even like those vinyl posters that are put on the floor or on walls, you know, and really talking to boys and men about what sexual assault is, so that not only can women protect themselves, but also boys and men know that, like, hey, when not only people are watching you, but you need to educate yourself on understanding where you're, like, the aggressor's role in it. And like, I had an incident. It wasn't even an incident. Like, it was, I was at the bar on Tuesday after a Crimes and Treason show, and I went to just have a drink by myself. And this man wouldn't stop talking to me. And this is nowhere near compared to sexual assault, but the idea of me eating and having a drink by myself and just having this person just not get my verbal cues to be like, hey, I'm eating, I don't want to speak to you, or my physical body cues of me having headphones in, you know, and me just facing my food and just eating, and you know, him just talking to me. He bought me a beer without me asking while I was drinking whiskey. I thought that was kind of insulting because you weren't even paying attention to my needs, man. But like, just like all of these things. And I was just like, wow, imagine being a woman and having to deal with this, this one instance, you know, at this restaurant by myself, but, you know, on the train or the bus or the grocery store or at, buying toilet paper or, you know, just anywhere that you can imagine that a woman might be in public, and these types of things happen all of the time. Like, that type of things, those type of things make me not even want to go out. Like, you know, I have instances, you know, maybe because of my hair or my race where people, you know, constantly, you know, every day, or it might be happening like a daily thing or maybe a weekly thing, but I couldn't imagine it happened like in every time I went out in public. And I tweeted about it. And then so it got a lot of people a lot of women who acknowledge that this is like a truth that they think about. And I'm like, wow, it's crazy. It's crazy that they have to deal with that. And then as we get into more about sexual assault, like you hear Terry Crews talk about, he's talking about his experiences in court, and I want to share a little bit from his testimony. Because if you don't know, Terry Crews, I guess say a few years ago, was at a party with his wife, like an industry party, and an agent grabbed his dick, and he subsequently, the next day, went to his agency and talked to them about like what happened, and it basically got swept underneath the rug. And I think it's important, you can just hear what he has to say, but here it is.
You're a big, powerful man. Why didn't you?
Senator, as a black man in America.
Say it as it is. I think it's important.
You only have a few shots at success. You only have a few chances to make yourself a viable member of the community. I'm from Flint, Michigan. I have seen many, many young black men who were provoked into violence, and they were in prison, and then, or they were killed, and they're not here. My wife, for years, prepared me. She said, if you ever get goaded, if you ever get prodded, if you ever have anyone try to push you into any kind of situation, don't do it. Don't be violent. And she trained me. I'll be honest with you. It was the strength of my wife who trained me and told me, if this situation happens, let's leave. And the training worked. Because I did not go into my first reaction. I grabbed her hand. We left. But the next day, I went right to the agency, right, and I have texts, I have phone conversations, and I said, this is unacceptable. And I told them how, you know, I almost got violent, but I didn't. And I said, what are you going to do about this predator that you have roaming your hallways? And, you know, I was told, we're going to do everything in our power. We are going to handle this, Terry. You're right. It is unacceptable. And then they disappear. Nothing happened.
And so it's very interesting because when you see the backlash or the what I would have done, you see like a lot of, it's like a different type of way to blame Terry Crews or subsequently like other men, you know, for his inaction or his lack of aggression towards this person who committed this act towards him, instead of just understanding that maybe we need, the conversation needs to be different. And so, you know, conversation continues, still needs to be around, you know, like the people who are committing these sexual acts. And it's very interesting to see and hear people talk about what they would have done, you know, particularly coming from people who I presume don't even stand up to their managers when they schedule them on a Saturday, when they repeatedly ask that they, you know, request it off. You know, these people always have what I would have done. You know, this happened with Harambe, you know, when I would have jumped in there and saved my kid, or I would have did this, or I would have slapped that dude. And I'm sure there are people who might have. And, you know, and you have to think like, yo, this is a place where, you know, this is a place where, like, you dream. This is like a dream job. You know, this isn't like, you know, working at UPS, you know, like that, where your boss, you know, you're fine with losing that job because you can find another $15 an hour job. Like, this is like a dream job. It's not even just a dream job. It's like, yo, I'm going to have to find something totally different. My whole life will change after this moment. You know, if I haul off and slap this dude. And it's interesting for people who've never been in that type of position. Like, I feel, you know, not similar, these are decisions that people are making every day, not just through sexual assault, but any type of other type of aggression. You know, like, I mean, I can only speak for myself, but I know that I've been, you know, at work where someone has said something to me so crazy. There's an incident where, you know, somebody said something to me so crazy in front of a lot of people, and you have to make a decision on what are you going to do next. And it's always coming from a person particularly who knows that you have more to lose and almost very little to gain. Like, there's what Terry Crews would have gained by slapping that man is very little. You know, like that, like, I mean, like, or slapping or beating him up, or like, he's not going to gain very much besides his satisfaction of, you know, I beat this dude up who touched me, but now I'm locked up. You know, now my, you know, my whole life has changed. I'm no longer an actor. You know, like that, like, that's not an option anymore. And so, you know, like, people who stand on principle, like, it's nice. Like, you know, like, if Terry Crews would have beat him up, I'm sure there wouldn't have been anybody who would have been like, wow, man, that wasn't, you know, exactly what you should have done. But he would also, like, next week, we talk about this news cycle next week, it would have been out of it. And we would go back to our lives thinking like, wow, Terry Crews, he was it's a real man there. But he'd also have to go back to his life. That would be changed forever. And so we put a lot of pressure on the victims. And so it's interesting. I think it was a podcast I was listening to yesterday. Bomani Jones was talking about. Imagine if they do that to Terry Crews, particularly in that situation, like, such a high profile, big black dude. Imagine what they're doing to, you know, to regular women who, you know, you never heard the names. You know, it's, and what they have been doing, because this is recently, you know, this is not something that has happened, you know, decades ago. And so bringing it back to UBC, it's like, why would you get rid of these resources? You get rid of these resources that are here to protect people, because clearly when you get out of a university environment, the resources, they just don't seem to exist. And so, you know, as we look at what it's to look like in the future, hopefully this idea of bringing this to light from Terry Crews, like, maybe makes it more real for some people. But I honestly, I don't really have that great of a hope for people who couldn't see it at first. You know, when it happens to women, I don't think that those people are going to come around and see Terry Crews, a victim of sexual assault, and then all of a sudden just get it. Just like, I don't think it's gonna, like, snap for them. But for me, at least, it shows that there are people who, there are people who do see this as an egregious violation of his rights, you know, and gives you, like a regular man, like particularly, like, I don't know if you guys, if you people have listened or you are black, but it seems that seemingly if you are black and you work in a bar or you work in the service industry, there are people, women particularly, who like feel like that they're like entitled to like this hypersexualization of your body. And it can be incredibly like confusing about what to do, and so it's nice to know that there are people who do take those types of things seriously, so that if you decide to make a complaint, hopefully it won't be ignored, like Terry Crews, to, you know, by the management, but that somebody will like listen. And so when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about how this week was both very, very hopeful for American politics, but then also a very, very sad reality as well. You're back at Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's radio station. This week in the Democratic primary in New York, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she's 28, 2 years ago decided to run for Congress, and she unseated a Democrat. And as this Democratic socialism is seemingly the key for the Democrats to win. However, these old Democrats do not seem to follow. And so if you were hopeful for one day, but then you wake up the next day and you see that Justice Kennedy has resigned, giving Donald Trump a second seat, an appointee in the Supreme Court. And all we have to do is really be hopeful that Justice Ginsburg can hold on, because while she is pretty old, and if she retires or unfortunately passes away, then Donald Trump will have three Supreme Court justices and our world will continue to crumble. That's all we have for here this week on Off the Beaten Path. Listen, tune in every Thursday, 7 to 8. Thank you. Thank you for listening. I love every single one of the listeners. I appreciate it. And stay tuned for what we have up next here on CITR.